राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय गोपी चंद वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। चंद वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी चंद वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। चंद वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन। यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरावनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर श्री राधे। जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम। Nitai Gaura Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nitai Gaura Hari Bol Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Gurudev 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev. Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotara Shatrashri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Good morning. Today is Thursday, December 4th. And we are reading today Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, verses 42 and 43. So verse 42, I will read myself, and verse 43, we will do call and response. Urjasvantam manyamana atmanam bhagavan ajaha sadhyan ganan pitrar ganan parokshena srijat prabhu. Recognizing himself to be full of desire and energy, the worshipful Brahma, the creator of the living entities, evolved from his own invisible form, from his navel, the hosts of sadhyas and pitas. The sadhyas and pitas are invisible forms of departed souls, and they are also created by Brahma. Text 43. Ta atma sargam tam kayam pitara pratipedire sadhye bhyascha pitra bhyascha Kavayo yad vitanvate ta atma sargam tam kayam pitara pratipedire sadhye bhyascha pitra bhyascha Kavayo yad vitanvate.
Thank you.
else. Word for word. Te. They. Atma sargam. Source of their existence. Tam. That. Kayam. Body. Pitaraha. The pitas. Pratipedire. Accepted. Sadyebhyaha. To the sadhyas. Cha. And. Pitribhyaha. To the pitas. Cha. Also. Kavayaha. Those well versed in rituals. Yat. Through which. Vitanvate. Offer oblations. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The pitas themselves took possession of the invisible body, the source of their existence. It is through the medium of this invisible body that those well versed in the rituals offer oblations to the sadhyas and pitas in the form of their departed ancestors on the occasion of Shraddha. Purport. Shraddha is a ritualistic performance observed by the followers of the Vedas. There is a yearly occasion of 15 days when ritualistic religionists follow the principle of offering oblations to the departed souls. Thus, those fathers and ancestors who, by freaks of nature, might not have a gross body for material enjoyment, can again gain such bodies due to the offering of Shraddha oblations by their descendants. The performance of Shraddha, or offering oblations with prasad, is still current in India, especially at Gaya, where oblations are offered at the lotus feet of Vishnu in a celebrated temple. Because the Lord is thus pleased with the devotional servants' service of the descendants, by His grace, He liberates the condemned souls of forefathers who do not have gross bodies, and He favors them to again receive a gross body for development of spiritual advancement. Unfortunately, by the influence of Maya, the conditioned soul employs the body he gets for sense gratification, forgetting that such an occupation may lead him to return to an invisible body. The devotee of the Lord, or one who is in Krishna consciousness, however, does not need to perform such ritualistic ceremonies as Shraddha, because he is always pleasing the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his fathers and ancestors who might have been in difficulty are automatically relieved. The vivid example is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj requested Lord Narasimhadev to deliver his sinful father, who had so many times offended the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord replied that in a family where a Vaishnav like Prahlad is born, not only his father, but his father's father and their fathers up to the 14th father back are all automatically delivered. The conclusion, therefore, is that Krishna consciousness is the sum total of all good work for the family, for society, and for all living entities. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author says that a person fully conversant with Krishna consciousness does not perform any rituals, because he knows that simply by serving Krishna in full Krishna consciousness, all rituals are automatically performed. I'd like if we can all repeat the translation together. The pitas themselves took possession of the invisible body. The source of their existence. It is through the medium of this invisible body that those well versed in the rituals offer oblations to the sadhyas and pitas in the form of their departed ancestors on the occasion of Shraddha. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and in my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udhirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto the Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Jai Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Sunyavad Prasthati Vishadharini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So we thank you all for coming to the class. Those of you who've come here to the class, those who are listening online, and those who may listen in the future, thank you for this opportunity to speak, and may my words be inspiring, pleasing, faith-building. Buffer, please give me your blessings, that I may be able to do so. And I take shelter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 10:9. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me. So in this section of the Bhagavatam, we are seeing there's a conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. And Maitreya is speaking of how creation takes place and how the different living entities are created. And in this section, he's talking about Brahma's subtle body, which is the invisible body, where the offerings to the Pitas are made. Pitas of the sadhyas are spirits of the deceased ancestors. And through this medium of Brahma's subtle body, the offerings of pinda are made to the ancestors. I'd like to go over Shraddha ceremony in two different perspectives, one through ritualistic ceremony and another through how the devotees view the Shraddha ceremony, how we perform it. So we are all indebted to the demigods, providing our water, air, sunlight, etc. We're indebted to our ancestors, whom we have taken this birth from this body. We are indebted to animals like the cows who give milk. We are indebted to Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth. Sages such as Shankaracharya, Gautama Muni, Narada Muni, as explained in the Bhagavatam, for their knowledge. We're indebted to our relatives, our friends. This Shraddha ceremony, in a ritualistic, for those who follow the ritualistic ceremonies, it allows for the deceased family members to enjoy in Pitraloka, which is a heavenly planet, it's an invisible planet, and it allows them to enjoy there. And the way the inhabitants in that planet have a subtle body, as we know that in the higher planetary systems, they don't have gross material bodies like we do on this planet and other middle to lower planetary systems. So the way they enjoy foodstuffs when they get hungry, they're depending on their descendants for offering them foodstuffs. And every year, for about 15 days, there's a window where a person, a family member, usually the son of the family, performs this pinda ceremony. And they offer foodstuffs to the forefathers for that they can continue enjoying in the pitralokas. And one day in Pitraloka is equal to 1 year on the earth. So every year we do this, we're basically feeding them every day. And when they don't get their offerings, it is said that they will have to come back down to this planet, take another birth, etc. Now, one of the reasons, another thing with ritualistic, following ritualistic ceremonies, we see that these families, Indian families especially, they're very adamant on wanting sons to, quote-unquote, liberate them and family members. Now, devotees, we are not attached to the ritualistic ceremony. We're not even obligated to perform ritualistic ceremonies. The purpose of the Vedas, as we all know, is to develop a relationship with the Lord, to understand who the Lord is, and to please the Lord. And through devotional service, we are already doing this. So our obligations in ritualistic ceremonies are already fulfilled. However, devotees, we still follow like Lord Chaitanya. He offered pinda to his father at Gaya. So we still follow ceremonies to be respectful. And we're not attached to the ceremony itself, but to the bhakti that's behind the performance of the ceremony. And that bhakti is that we offer foodstuffs to the Lord, and that prasadam is offered to the forefathers in this ceremony. We feed the Vaishnavas, we ask for the Vaishnavas for prayers. So we keep Krishna in the center of this this ceremony, this activity. I was listening to a class by Janani Vas Prabhu, and he had also mentioned that amongst devotees, we also offer a plate to Ganga, the river Ganga, Ganga Devi. Ganga goes also down to the Patala planets, the lower planetary system. So any souls that might have been either suicide or untimely death and have received a ghost body, they can also be liberated by receiving prasadam. And as Vaishnavas, we don't want to be entangled in the material world, and we don't want our ancestors to be also entangled in the material world. So we perform this by offering them prasad, chanting, feeding the Vaishnavas in the context that we want them to, if they're to continue their journey, they continue amongst devotees and follow a Krishna conscious path, not be entangled in the cycle of birth and death. So our mood is like that of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was asked by Lord Narasimhadev for a boon, and he refused. He said, I don't want this. I ask for something and you give me the kind of like a business relationship. I just have pure love for you. And we see even Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw the Lord, he had requested, he even commented, it's like I've received this diamond and I've been asking for broken pieces of glass. And he didn't even want to ask for what his original desire to have a kingdom bigger than his grandfather's. He didn't even want that anymore. Even though he was granted that, he didn't want it anymore. So with devotees, we also practice in that mood of we just want to serve and being fully immersed in Krishna consciousness. And that is why we don't follow the ritualistic ceremony part of the Shraddha ceremony. We care for the soul that is departed. And also as devotees, we understand that it is a blessing whether we have a son or a daughter. As Srila Prabhupada stated, these women are not ordinary women. They are Vaishnavis. So a woman, a girl or a daughter or a son can both liberate the family members. Now, what if we cannot do a Shraddha ceremony to our departed family members? Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, it is stated the best process of Shraddha ceremony is to offer prasadam to one's relatives or forefathers when performing the Shraddha ceremony. One need only feed one or two pure Vaishnavas. And we see in the example of Srila Dvaitacharya, who after performing his pinda for his father, he fed Haridas Thakur, who was the topmost Vaishnava, Namacharya. And it was more important that he was a Vaishnava than anything else, than even Haridas Thakur had questioned. There are so many elevated souls here. And Advaita Acharya said, no, you are a Vaishnava. And that is why it's very important that I want to feed you. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, we just read a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, in chapter 16, verse 8, the Lord says, I do not enjoy oblations offered by the sacrificers in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, which the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the brahmanas, who have dedicated to me the results of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. So we see here same, pleasing the Vaishnavas with tasty prasadam is very fulfilling to the Lord. The Lord eats through the sacrificial fire and the brahmanas' mouths. Another way we can, if we cannot perform the Shraddha ceremony, is we can ask devotees to pray for our departed family members. As we've just heard from Mother Mukhya today, the power of prayers of the Vaishnavas, it's incalculable. We chant every day, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pabanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Devotees are like desire-fulfilling, wish-fulfilling desire trees, and they're full of compassion for the fallen and conditioned souls, so their prayers are very powerful. And another thing we can do is read or recite the Bhagavatam and even distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'd like to share a story here that we've heard before from Satchinandana Maharaj when he visited here. It's from the Uttarakhanda of Padma Purana, and it's the story of Dundukari and Gokarna. So there were this Brahmin couple, Atmanadev and Dunduli, who wanted children. Atmadev more so than his wife. He was distraught that he had no children, and he went to a sage and was expressing his sorrows that his wife was barren, his cow was barren, his trees were barren. And the sage gave him his fruit and asked him, he said, give this to your wife and ask her to be truthful, clean, compassionate, give in charity, and eat only once a day. And if she follows this for 1 year, she will have a wonderful son. So Atmadev gave this fruit to his wife. But Dundali, she did not really want a child. So her sister, who was pregnant, said to her, why don't we make an arrangement? I will give you my child when he is born, when he or she is born, and you just give my husband some money. So Dundali agreed to this, and her sister said, just feed the fruit to the cow. So when Dunduli's sister's baby was born, she presented that to her husband, and her husband gave the name Dundukari. And 3 months later, the cow, which had eaten the fruit, gave birth to a little boy who had ears the shape of a cow. And Atmadev named him Gokarna, and these became his two sons. Now, Gokarna grew up to become a scholar, a wonderful, amazing devotee. And Dundukari was a wicked young boy who stole constantly. He had enemies with everyone. He was dirty, angry. He set fires to people's homes. If he didn't like his friends, he would just drop them in a well for them to die. He was addicted to violence. He carried weapons. He tormented the blind and the helpless just for no reason. And he squandered his father's money. He fell down with prostitutes. And he would beat his parents every day for money. And his father was so distressed that he was sharing with Gokarna one day that, why did I even pray for children if this is what the result was going to happen? And Gokarna gave him such good advice and said, just renounce and go to the forest and just chant Krishna's names and worship Krishna. Give up everything now. And so Atmadev followed that path. And now, without a father in the family, Dundukari started beating up at the mother more, trying to get her jewels. And out of distress, she too ran away and fell into a well and unfortunately left her body. Now Dundukari, who had no authority, could do freely what he wanted, and he brought home 5 prostitutes to enjoy with. And he would, at night, kill individuals to steal their jewelry, and this is how he provided for himself and for his lifestyle. Now, a little while ago, Gokarna had gone on pilgrimage, so he was not aware of what was happening, his parents passing away and everything, his mother passing away and everything, of the recent passing away. So when he was out on pilgrimage. So Dundukari performed this hideous lifestyle, and these prostitutes, they were intelligent. They realized one day the king will catch up with Dundukari and he will execute him. And they said, because we are living with him, they will come after us too. So they devised a plan to kill Dundukari. And their idea was to kill him and take away his wealth. So they tried to strangle him, and that didn't work. So they tortured him by feeding him hot burning coals in his mouth. And that kind of violent death, he left his body violently. And they took his leftover wealth and ran away. Dundukari became a ghost from this violent death, and he was restless, wandering here and there. You know, as ghost bodies, you know, we know that they still have desires, but they can't fulfill them. So he's wandering aimlessly, tormented by hunger, thirst, cold, being freezing, being hot. So word comes to Gokarna that his brother has left his body. And he performs a pinda ceremony in Gaya to relieve his brother from this hideous form. And he comes back, once he finishes his pilgrimage, he comes back to the home, and he's taking rest, and he hears these strange sounds coming from the house. And his Dundukari sees his brother sleeping in this, and he's in this ghostly body, and he comes to haunt him. And he comes in terribly ghastly forms, because remember, the ghostly bodies, they cannot communicate with the rest of us. They don't have a body, they don't have a voice, nothing. So Gokarna, he throws some sacred water, and he hears Dundukari saying, Gokarna, I am your brother Dundukari. Because of my misdeeds, I've fallen. And I've fallen from my position of a brahmana, and I had been tormented violently by these 5 prostitutes, and I've died, and I've become this horrible, ghastly form. And I've killed so many people, and I cannot get relieved from being in this form. Please, you're the only one who could save me. So Gokarna comforted him and said, I will figure out a way. So the next day he met with some scholars, and they said, we should ask Surya Narayan, the sun god, what to do. Now in those times, as we remember, the demigods would actually visit the earthly planet and even assist the humans with giving them intelligence, and they would interact with the humans. So they consulted Surya Narayan, and they were advised that only the recitation of the Bhagavatam for 7 days, continuous recitation, if he hears that, that's the only way he can be relieved of his ghostly situation. So Gokarna organizes a Bhagavat Katha. And many people come from far away to come attend this. And Dundukari also came. But because he had no form, he couldn't just sit there. So he took shelter in a bamboo, which had 7 knots. And he sat in the lowest hole. And by the end of the first day, everyone heard a cracking sound. And the first knot was broken. And Dundukari's ghostly body rose to the next knot. And by the end of the 7th day, when the whole Bhagavatam was recited, all 7 knots had sequentially been broken, and Dundukari was freed from that ghostly form. He was radiant, and he looked divine, and he bowed down to his brother and thanked him. And everyone in the audience saw this spiritual plane coming to take Dundukari back home to the spiritual planets. And everyone asked, why did he get sent back and not us? We were here sitting listening, and we haven't even performed a fraction of what he has done. And Gokarna said that Dundukari was listening very attentively, every single word. He was listening with eagerness. Now, how many of you have not been distracted by your family members, by one another talking? They all understood. And he said, I will recite the Bhagavatam one more time. And you all come and listen very, very attentively. And they did. And then the airplane came to deliver them as well. But that is the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can recite the Bhagavatam, we can attend the classes, we can discuss Bhagavatam, we can distribute Bhagavatam. It is very, very powerful. Now, what if we don't have anyone to perform Shraddha ceremony for us? So I would like to share a quick story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is taken from ISKCON Desire Tree. Sri Govinda Ghosh, an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, was known for his sweet kirtans at the annual Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra Festival. Lord Chaitanya would at once begin to dance whenever Govinda Ghosh would sing. He and his brothers, Vasudev and Madhava Ghosh, were eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So in Mahaprabhu's direction, Govinda revealed the Gopinath deity from a black stone in Agra Dweep. Mahaprabhu instructed him to get married and to worship Gopinathji. So after marrying and worshiping Gopinathji, he had a son who would also assist him in the worship of the deity. So unfortunately, Govinda Ghosh's wife and son both died untimely. And this made Govinda Ghosh very sad. As he grew older, he began to wonder who would perform the last rites for him, as it is important to have a son who can do the Shraddha ceremony on his behalf. Govinda became very sad. And in a fit of anger, he lay down on his bed. He didn't cook anything that day, neither did he eat anything, and he didn't offer anything to Gopinathji. In the night, Gopinath came and began to massage Govinda's legs. Then Gopinath asked him, I don't understand your intelligence. One of your sons dies, and you decide, what's the point in feeding the other one? Let him also die. Govinda replied, I don't know what you're talking about. I only had one son. And the deity replied, am I not also your son? You are feeding me and taking care of me as your son. Now, when I am dependent on you, you decide to neglect me altogether. Govinda Ghosh replies, well, anyway, now there's no one to perform my Shraddha and the offering of Pinda to my forefathers. Will you do that? Gopinath replied, yes, I can do it. Why not? So now will you give me something to eat? Having heard Gopinath's reply, Govinda was very happy and got up to prepare an offering. When Govinda Ghosh finally passed away, Gopinath offered the pinda on his behalf. And this ceremony continues every year on the anniversary of Govinda Ghosh's departure from the world. The deity, the Gopinath deity, offers the pinda on his behalf. And this takes place on the Krishna Trayodashi of the month of Chaitra. Now, we also know at the time of death from Bhagavad Gita 8.6, yam yam vapi smaram vapam tyajatyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sada tad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers at the time of death, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. And as devotees, we know the importance that this is our final test. This is the most important test for all of us. So out of our compassion, we help one another to remember Krishna at the time of death. The Lord is still so merciful that what if there's no one there with us at the time of death? In the Sri Isha Upanishad, verse 17, the purport, it stated, the devotees, however, develop a sense of love for Godhead by practicing a devotional service to the Lord. Even if at the time of death a devotee does not remember his service to the Lord does not forget him. This prayer is given to remind the Lord of the devotee's sacrifices. But even if there's no such reminder, the Lord does not forget the service rendered by his pure devotee. And I'd like to end with this beautiful quote, beautiful verse from Varaha Purana. The Lord Vishnu in the form of Varaha Dev speaks this Varaha Purana to Bhumi Devi as he rescues her from the Garbhodaka ocean. And this one shloka is a very beautiful shloka. Yadi vatadi doshena madbhakto mamna cha smaret aham smarami madbhaktam nayami paramam gatim. If my devotee is not able to remember me at the time of death because of the great disturbances felt within the body, at that time, then I shall remember my devotee and take him back to the spiritual world. So once again, our verses was Ujasvantam mayamana manyamana atmanam bhagavanaja sadhyan ganan pitr ganan parokshena srijat prabhu. Recognizing himself to be full of desire and energy, the worshipful Brahma, the creator of living entities, evolved from his own invisible form, from his navel, the hosts of sadhyas pitas. Ta atma sargam tam kayam pitara pratipedire sadhye bhyascha pitri bhyascha kavayo yad vitanvate. The pitas themselves took possession of the invisible body, the source of their existence. It is through the medium of this invisible body that those well-versed in the rituals offer oblations to the sadhyas and pitas in the form of their departed ancestors on the occasion of Shraddha. Thank you very much. If there's any comments, corrections, questions. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you. I have a question about that story. A story with the Govinda Ghosh. Knowing that verse, Devarshi Bhutaptan Rinam Pitrinam, why he still wanted the Pinda should offer? Because when we offer Pinda, he kind of enjoy on the heavenly planets for that.
Yes. My understanding of Pinda, again, just like Lord Chaitanya offered Pinda to his father for his father's death, we follow the rituals of offering, but again, the devotees offer prasadam. They're not offering to this for the sake of continuing the enjoyment, but we're offering the prasadam to break that samsara, the cycle of birth and death. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to comment or add to that, or another question? Yogananda?
Thank you for your class. This is probably a silly question, but I was wondering, if I was a pig in my last life, okay? A pig. Does that mean my pig ancestors were liberated, or is just applied to human form?
That's a good question. She's asking if she was a pig in her last life and she leaves to go back to the spiritual world in this life, will the ancestors from that pig's body, and or dog or any whatever, do the ancestors of that, you know, the pig's descendants, the pig's parents, the pig's onward goes, or how does that work? The ancestors. The souls, which souls go back? The 14 generations or... Is it the pigs when you're all your lifetimes, whether you were an animal? It's all the souls? Well, let the microphone come, please.
In Bhagavatam 7.10.18, Prabhupada put it in the purport, but the sloka is there. The purport, everything Prabhupada put in the purport has somewhere some sloka. Even though it's coming through him, but he's actually bringing out from the 7.10.18 has this Tri Shapta Bhi Puta that Nishingadev told to Prahlad Maharaj, that because you are a pure devotee, three means three, Shapta means seven, so 21 generation, but it did not say go back home, back to God. It said Puta means purification. A facility will be given that they have to walk through that sadhana, and then they decide they want to go back. Ordinary soul will not get this. But those who are devotee, their descendant will get this facility. Krishna will arrange that. But they have to choose. It's not like they die and they go back to spiritual world. Nowhere it says that. I'm not challenging, but I am challenging. Because I did some research on that. It says putam, the word is, you can look at it in the Bhagavatam 7.10.18. It says trishaptavi putam. And that's where most of the idea is coming. Prabhupada mentioned this different occasion. But putam means purification. Means they will be given a facility that they will participate. Not condition, ordinary condition soul will not get this. But the relative of the devotee will get this, for sure. But they have to make their choice to go back home. What is the question?
Okay, can you put the microphone so she can also... Well, no, it's for the audience in the internet from now and in the future when they want to hear the conversation. No, you can ask it again, please.
Yeah, well, what if I was a pig in my last life, okay? Will my pig ancestors will get liberated? Or is it... Huh?
She's saying, supposing in... So not necessarily going back to the spiritual world, but getting a better facility in the next life to come near maybe devotees and practice to
so
come.
So it could be humans or animals, it doesn't matter.
Subtle body.
No, air body.
Air body. Right.
Other countries, they do the same thing, like in Indonesia, Thailand.
They do
this, but they're offering meat and...
Yeah, they don't... Yeah, it's not prasadam.
They're not getting a human body. But they will get out of the vital body. That's all it is. So it is not Vishnu prasadam. But it is Vishnu prasadam. They never eat.
Hare Krishna. I have a question about untimely death. What exactly does that mean? Because I was under the impression that the time we're born, the time that we leave our bodies, is already kind of prearranged according to our karma. So what's the meaning?
So my understanding of untimely death is when somebody is... they're not expecting to be dying right at that moment. Car accident, sudden car accident, somebody's getting killed. Like it's shocking the body that shocking the individual that the, I think the soul jump, like comes out of the body, like suddenly and the individual is not aware of what's happening. And that can happen in like a car accident or a murder, any other.
But that's part of the person's karma. It's just that they're not expecting, no one's expecting that, but is that part of their karma though? Like, or can that happen outside of their karma?
One second. I want the devotees will want to hear this because I also listen to class after.
There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Janti Deva Bratana Devan Pitrin Jantri Pitti Brata. Prabhupada talks about it actually in the purport. That Bhutani Janti Bhuteja, that's the line. Bhuta means ghost. That when you worship ghost, you go to ghost planet. So if I am a hunter and I shot an arrow, once the arrow is released from my hand, how much power I have to change the destiny where it's going to hit? How much?
None.
That's called this body. This body that we have, it's already done. What is going to do? Whether we like or not doesn't matter. It's already done. This is called prarabdha karma. So when we become devotee or join in Krishna consciousness, in these verses, Mahaprabhu explained in Chaitanya Chaitamita, also Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a big commentary. Gyani Gyana Yoga Kariya Jatane Brahmare Shakshat Kare Brahma Shakshat Kar Prarabdha Karma Sampurna Gyanete Hare Prarabdha Karma Kabu Nahi Khai Phala Bhuga Bina Kabu Brahma Bhuta Ji Phala Bhuga Valagi Janama Marana Labu. Those verses gives that when the soul are born with a particular experience he is going to go through, this is already done. And Prabhupada also gave in a morning walk, like a movie is made, you cannot change what is, whether you like or not like, what is going on in the movie, it's already done. I like or not like. How I react, it's creating my next destiny. We are product of our own decision, not situation. Situation is already predestined. But we are product of our decision in a sense, we always have a choice what I can do in this situation. So that's called creating future. As for the car accident, so for an example, say I have a 100 years life. I'm just giving a dirty example, 100 years life. But I'm not supposed to drink, but I'm getting drunk and I'm driving. Now that the ghosts are here, they are, and the Shiva is walking with Parvati, and then ghosts, they are only looking shelter of Shiva. And Shiva may just throw it, one ghost to enter in mind. And then I have a car crash. So I'm supposed to live for 100, but I'm doing some sinful activity, drinking and whatever sinful it is. Then maybe 80 years. So that 20 years, I have a ghost body. That's a suffering body. Because sin means two things. Sin means in the papa. There's a three division of papa. Sin means I'll be forced to experience pain and those activity will keep me away from Krishna. That's what sin ultimately boils down, why it is bad. So from that angle, now it's like a very complicated, very complicated.
When we take the Charanamrita in the morning, we say Akalamrityu Haranam.
Yes.
So that takes away. Yes. But you're saying there's no such thing as that. But that's the only way out.
Yes. That's why Krishna consciousness is so powerful.
Did that answer your question, Ekadasi?
Also, like considered like untimely death. If you predestined 100 years, but you decided to make a suicide at the age of 50, for example, that's untimely death. That's my understanding. And that another 50 years, you will live in a ghostly body at that time.
Now, I have a question.
As far as the Akal Mrityu Haranam, so that is the only way out of that whole thing there?
There is a Soviet aspect, I'm just here opening my mouth.
If devotees have untimely death, yes, if that occurs, so would they be forced?
They took charanamrita.
No, if would they be forced to be in a ghostly body, or through devotees, devotees chanting for them would relieve them of that?
You know that Nishinadev's pujari in Mayapur commit suicide. Yes, before COVID. I heard the news right here, yes, in Mayapur.
Yes, there was a new Vrindavan.
He was a Nishinadev's pujari. So I traced it. I sent text to Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. What's the story? It's like, is he ishi-washi? Nobody wants to talk in Mayapur because it's like a devastating that house. In my time, there was a Jayapataka Maharaj's disciple, an elderly gentleman. He also killed himself in the boundary wall. So we did discuss about it, that what happened. So devotees are given an opportunity. He may be taken Mahaprasad. So in that purport, if you have it in Bhagavad Gita, you'll look at it. Prabhupada says, those who supposed to know not to commit suicide, he will suffer more.
Right.
And what they call the leader of the ghost, Brahma,
Brahmadaitya.
In English, I'm not sure what they call. Brahmadaitya are the those devotees who commit suicide. Because devotees are not supposed to do this. Devotees should
better.
Not do this. If devotee commits suicide, they will suffer more than the karmi becoming ghost. And there is a big, big pastimes how this actually took place. In our scripture, Veda has this.
Ekadasi Ratha still had another question. I'd like her to. You didn't have any more? You were okay? Okay.
You said Brahmadaitya. I was thinking, oh, it's a good ghost, but that's not what it means.
No, they're more powerful. Oh, they're in. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vancha Kalpa Darubhya Shakripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pravanebhi, Vaishnavi Vinamo Namaha.